Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Turn to your neighbor and tell him you are what you eat. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You are what you eat. Hearing that growing up on the playground, growing up, hearing that on the school bus in school, you are what you eat. But here we are all of these years later, and it's true. Whatever you consume, ingest, and whatever you digest, that is going to become a big part of your life. I know that when we talk about the Holy Spirit and we talk about the Holy Ghost, the dunamis, where we get our word dynamite, we think of explosive power. In church, can I just tell you that there is no greater power on the face of the earth than the Holy Spirit of God? It is the same Spirit, Romans 8:11 says that. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us and quickens or makes alive our mortal, our earthly, our fleshly bodies become alive under the direction and under the power of the Holy Spirit. But a lot of times we think of dynamite as something explosive, but can I encourage you that sometimes the most powerful things in your life will not have an explosive sound or noise. Have you ever met somebody that was strong but silent? Sometimes the power that God gives you is not to tell someone off in the spirit. Sometimes it takes power to keep your mouth shut. Sometimes it takes power to make silent moves that in the end are going to have a big, big result. But in on the way to that big result, it is something that we keep and that we have power, but it's not always an expressive power. I love Holy Ghost Church. I love people jumping up and down. I love people crying out to God. I love when people get the joy of the Lord and they can't keep their seat. I love in a service when someone gets so excited they jump up and start pumping their fist. I love Holy Ghost Church, but I also love the Holy Ghost that's alive in me on Monday that gives me the power not to stray from the Word of God. I love the Holy Ghost power that is evident on Tuesday that literally brings down strong holds that are in front of me. I love Wednesday night Holy Ghost, but can I tell you, Thursday morning Holy Ghost is just as exciting. It's just as powerful when you can bring the promises of God to your front door. So what we eat, what we ingest, we digest and we become, and so we must become hungry for the things of God. We must ingest and digest those things because when we are spirit-fed or we feed on the things of the Spirit will lead us and we will be spirit-led. We as believers must, church, have a consistent diet of the things of God every day. As great as these services are, this service is not meant to last you until Sunday morning. As great as the worship was today, that should not be the first or the last time that you worship before we see you again next week. It is a consistent diet of the Word of God. It is a consistent diet of devotion and time with God. If you really want the Spirit of God to lead you, then you are going to have to eat the right things every day of your life. Are you as shocked as I am when you eat a salad and don't drop 25 pounds? I'm shocked. I'm shocked when I eat good for 2 days and I gain weight. Or you lose 0.2. You got those. I don't even know why I have a scale, y'all. Just to make me mad. But those 0.2, I don't like the 0.2s. You do all this work for 4 days and you lose 0.2 pounds. Then you start doing the math. Man, I got to do 8 days for 0.4, which means I got to do 16 for 0.8, which means I got to do 20 days of eating right and working out to lose 1 pound. That's how my mind works. But there's a lot of us that we come to church on Wednesday, We come on Sunday. We might even lift a hand and come to an altar. And then we wake up on Thursday or Monday morning and we are shocked that our life has not fallen like dominoes into place. It is going to take more than just a Wednesday night encounter, more than just a Sunday morning experience, more than just you and I talking to God when we need something. It is going to take a consistent diet of all things God, every day. In this series, we're going to take a dive deep into Romans 8. We're going to talk about the spirit versus the flesh. We're going to talk about the choice of slaves or sons. You say that's an easy decision, then why are most people living as slaves? What does a spirit-filled life really look like? That's what it sounds like. I don't need to know what it sounds like. I need to know what it looks like. What does a spirit filled life produce? Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1 says this. Here's another off-quoted scripture from Romans. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. So now, when he makes a big deal about so now, what he's saying is once you said yes to Jesus, once you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, condemnation is not a part of the believer's life. So now, as a result of you being a believer, follower, disciple of Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. I like to say it like this: your conversion freed you from condemnation. Your conversion. What is your conversion? When you said yes to Jesus and no to the adversary. When you said yes to God's word and no to the word or the ways of this world. When you crucified your flesh so that the Spirit of God could be elevated in your life and in turn elevate you. Said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Do you realize that when you raise the name of Jesus, God raises you right along with him as he rises? So when we look at this, your conversion, the day you said yes to Jesus, you said no to condemnation. Remember what condemnation is? Condemnation is the adversary lying to you, telling you that you are wrong and you cannot get right. Never confuse condemnation with conviction. Condemnation says you can't get right. Conviction says you're wrong, but here is how you get right. The debt has already been paid. The Spirit of God on you and in you doesn't want you to feel that way to where you stop, but conviction makes you get up and say, I shouldn't have done that, but there's a better way, and I'm going to press on. Your conversion freed you, past tense, from condemnation. As a believer, you must realize, here's a great word in verse 1, you belong to Christ. I'm not throwing any stones at churches, but there's a lot of churches who use the phrase, you belong here. Talking about the church, you belong at Living Way. This is your family now. This is your church. I understand that sentiment, but never let us talk about belonging to a church family more than we do belonging to Jesus Christ. Because should you move to Salt Lake City or Washington State or Baltimore, you're still going to belong to Christ even if you don't belong to Living Way anymore. Can I remind you, there's something greater than belonging to each other or belonging to a faith family. I belong to Jesus Christ. If you and I belong to Jesus Christ, guess whose responsibility we are? His. That's why when we pray, our Father, fathers have a responsibility for their sons and their daughters. Can I remind you, the next time the devil tries to condemn you and drag you back, can I remind you today, you don't belong to him. You don't live in that old house anymore. You are not who you used to be. You belong to Christ. He purchased you with his blood. Do you not know that you are not your own? But God loved you so much, he laid it all on the line. I belong to Christ. When they tell you you have cancer, you belong to Christ, not to what that doctor says. When you hear bad news, that bad news doesn't belong to you. You don't belong to that bad news. I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm not who I used to be. I belong to Jesus Christ. I changed addresses, praise God. I've been regened, praise God. That old man don't live here anymore. When you talk about the old Brandon, I don't know who you're talking about. I belong to Christ. That man belonged to the world. That man belonged to substance. That man belonged to lies. That man belonged to lust. But when I found Jesus, praise God, I now belong. You now belong to Jesus Christ. Remind the devil tomorrow morning when you wake up, I don't belong to you. You don't tell me what to do. You don't tell me where to go. You don't tell me how to feel. You don't get to make those decisions in my life. I belong to Jesus. I don't belong to you. Remind him. Maybe you don't even need to remind the devil. Maybe you just need to look in the mirror and remind that person. I don't belong to you. You don't get to call the shots. I'm spirit-filled, praise God. You don't get to call the shots. I've been living on the Spirit, and so I'm spirit-fed and spirit-led. Somebody say amen. Amen. So you belong to Jesus. Verse 2, and because you belong to him, Paul says, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Paul would say it like this, for the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is separation from Jesus Christ eternally if we don't get it right here on this earth. But this is what Paul said. Paul said that the power, that there is a power of life-giving Spirit that freed us from the power of sin that leads to death. Can I just tell you that sin is powerful? Because it can literally drag you to hell. Sin is powerful because it can disconnect you from God. It does not have power over God, but it has power over you until you say yes to Jesus Christ. The devil's power might be strong, but it is not as strong as our God's. And might I remind you that the devil is a defeated foe. He has been defeated for 2,000 years. He is working on faux power. He is working on credit cards. He is working on loans. He's working with smoke and mirrors. But I am here to tell you, when Jesus died on the cross and resurrected from the grave, he proved my power, my spirit-giving power is greater than the power of death and the power of sin. He said, and because as a result of you belonging to Christ, the power of life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Because you belong, church, you are free. Because you belong to Christ, you are free. Let me break it down a little bit. Because you belong to Christ, there's not an addiction in this world that can take you out. Because you belong to Christ, there is not a sickness in this world that can take you out. Because you belong to Christ, there is not a mental disorder that can drag you back. Because you belong to Christ, you don't have to live like you used to. You are free to be what God has created you to be and to move forward. This is where it gets tough. Buckle your seatbelts. If you belong to Christ, and there is a life-giving Spirit that has freed you from the power of sin that leads you to death, if you are a believer who is not living in total freedom, it is a choice. Paul said, hey, when Jesus laid down on the cross, he took all of our sin. He took all of our mistakes. He took all of our unrighteousness. He took all of our unfaithfulness. He took all of our sickness. He took all of the sins that had been committed, were being committed, and were yet to be committed. And he took them and paid for it all. Church, when we are in bondage and we don't live in freedom, we are paying a bill that has already been paid. And how silly is that? Let me just go on a rant about banks for just a second. Why do I have to prove who I am to pay my bills? If somebody wants to come pay my bill, let them. They don't need to give you their name. They don't need to give you how they know me and relationship. If somebody wants to pay my mortgage, please let them. Let them remain anonymous. But please inform me that it has been paid, because I don't want to pay a bill. How crazy is it for us to try to pay a bill that has already been paid? But when we live below freedom, when we live in bondage, we are constantly through our flesh trying to pay a bill that has already been paid. I've got good news for you, baby. The blood of Jesus paid your debt. You don't owe anything. You don't have to tip your server. You don't have to give 15%. You don't have, all you've got to do is say yes to God. Yes to Jesus. Yes to his righteousness. Yes to his spirit. I don't know why in 2023 we've got pastors that are saying, well, you can't get filled with the Holy Ghost and we can't see miracles anymore. Why are you trying to talk people out of what Jesus died to give us? I am here to tell you, he is a miracle working God, and the miracle's already been paid for. You don't have to do anything for that miracle except be a believer and follower of Jesus and say, yes, I believe I will. Yes to freedom. Yes to healing. Yes to finance. Yes to prosperity. Please, church, quit trying to pay a bill that has already been paid. Quit making that choice. After Jesus did everything he did, quit making that choice. I think I'm just going to stay bound. No. He gave you life-giving spirit that is greater than the sinful spirit and the flesh that we struggle with on a daily basis. If you are a believer who is not living in total freedom, it is a choice. You are not a victim. It is a choice. Here we are struggling in 2023 with people who are being assaulted. And sometimes, all the time, when it's sexually assault, they always ask one question: was it consensual? It got quiet, because you know where I'm going. Some of us are praying for God to call off the dogs when we invited that dog into our house. Some of us are saying, God, you've got to get this off of me. You've got to get this out of me. And God's saying, wait up. Wait a minute. What you're doing is consensual. You went on a date with him. You went out with him. You got drunk with her. You slept. It's now my problem, because it's become a bigger problem than you wanted it to be. Remember, you can't hang out with snakes and then get mad when you get bit. You can't lay with dogs and get mad when you get fleas. It's a choice. I'm not going to play victim. I'm going to take responsibility. Yep, I put that down my throat. Yep, I put that up my nose. Yep, I put that in my veins. Yep, I did go out with her. Yep, I did make that mistake. Yes, I did do that. Yes, I did. But God, he is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful to forgive. Nothing can separate us from that love, but we've got to take some responsibility and quit playing the victim card and start acting like the victor that God has called us to be. But some of us are complaining about a mess that we've stirred up. As Mandy likes to say, play stupid games and you get stupid prizes. Me and my brother used to shoot beehives with our pellet guns until... The Fender boys are not built for speed, I promise you that. Even when I was 160 pounds, you get lit up 3 or 4 times by bees and hornets, and you find out, I just won a stupid prize playing stupid games. And I want to encourage you today, if you are choosing something lesser than freedom, I'm not here to condemn you. The Bible says we were condemned already. I'm here to allow the Spirit to convict you and say, come on. I've already made a way of escape. Come on. I've already made a way, a path of freedom. Come on. And if you belong to him, the power of life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin. Let's go to verse 3. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Here's the problem, and please don't get it twisted. The Bible does not say that the law of Moses was unable to save us because it was weak. It said the law of Moses was unable to save us because we are weak. Because the law of Moses is the word of God. The Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's the first five books of the Bible. It is what the Jews still are looking for that Messiah, but they stand on. But we know that Jesus is that Messiah. But this is what Paul said. Paul said the law of Moses did not work because of the weakness of the flesh. Here's the thing. The law of Moses was always pushing people. You have to do this. You have to do this to be in right standing with God. You have to do this to be... Whereas the Spirit of God in the New Testament doesn't push us, it leads us. There's a difference between being pushed and being led. Can I talk to somebody whose wife made you come to church today? You're going to get a lot more out of this when she doesn't have to push you and you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. If somebody has to make you pray, your prayers are not going to be very powerful. If somebody has to make you worship, that's why I'm glad that Tyler, as a worship leader, invites people to worship. But you shouldn't have to have someone invite you to worship. You shouldn't have to have someone provoke you to worship. You shouldn't have to have someone say, all right, now everybody lift their hands. All right, if you need a miracle, come to the altar. That's a lot of provoking and pushing, and he's been trained to do that because some of us are hard-headed. But can I encourage you that your worship will be more meaningful, your prayers will be more powerful, when you are not pushed by the law, but you are led of the Spirit. That's why you don't hear us getting up here saying, hey, if we don't get $50,000 by the end of the week, the lights are going. We need, and I've been in those services. And back when Living Way was first getting started, we had to have some of those services. How many people will give $1,000? Stand on your feet. How many people will give $500? Because we don't want to push you to give. We want Mario and Bandy to stand here and invite you to give. Lead you to a place where you understand the Word of God commands us and encourages us to give. I never want to do things because I have to. That's what the law did. But he said the flesh is so weak that the flesh does not respond well to have to. The flesh or the spirit responds very well to I get to. You mean I get to go to church? You know, there are people that said, man, they saw that post today about Wednesday night church. Man, I ain't going to church today. I went on Sunday. They want me to come twice a week. But then there are others of us that saw that and we said, oh, man, it's Wednesday. Tonight's church. Because I think of the believers in China who can't have church like we have church. They have to have church in private because if they're found out having church, they'll be killed on the spot. You said, does that happen? Oh, it doesn't happen in America yet. But it's happening around the world. It's not I have to go to church. I get to go to church. Why? Because the law did not make me come tonight. But this morning when I woke up and realized it's Wednesday night, the Spirit's been leading me all day long. Hey, today you're going to step into something deep. Tonight God is going to speak. Tonight you get a one-on-one with the Creator of the universe. Tonight Jesus is going to speak. Tonight His blood is running fresh. Tonight healing is available. Tonight you get to rendezvous with the Master. Not I have to, I want to. Moses' law drove people while the Spirit leads people. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. I love this. There are some people who refuse to follow Moses. You know, Moses had a history too. Isn't it amazing how God chose Moses to be the greatest deliverer that this world has ever seen, and he couldn't talk? The Bible never says he was healed of his stutter. He killed somebody. And so there's a lot of people, because of his past, said, I'm not going to follow him. They wouldn't follow him out of Egypt. That's something nobody ever preaches. I'm sure there was a couple Israelites said, I'd rather be a slave than follow you out in the wilderness and die. They didn't want to be forced. But here's the thing about Moses. There's some things, because he was a man, that people would not follow him. And I love what the Bible says. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his only son in a body like the bodies that we sinners have. I'm saying right out of the Bible. He sent his son in a body like the body we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us. Receive that word today, church. In the body of Christ, he sent something in that body that when it was crucified and the blood was shed, that it ended the control that sin has over you and has over me. I'm preaching to the redeemed tonight. Because of Jesus, there is not one thing on this world, on this earth, that can control me. There is not one thing on this earth that can control you. He sent something in Jesus that broke the control of the adversary. I know that we've got former drug addicts all over this house, former alcoholics all over this house, former religious fanatics all over this house, former prostitutes, former strippers. Oh, yeah, this is that church. When they and when we were bogged down in sin, we couldn't get out by ourselves. So what about the 10-step program? That's our version of the law of Moses. You can't make me do right by taking 10 steps. That's why Alcoholics Anonymous tells you, you never quit being an alcoholic. You just learn to manage it. That's the law of Moses. But God said, I'm sending my son to do a job that the law could not do. I'm sending Jesus to do a job that Brandon cannot do under self-power and his own power. I'm sending Jesus, and within Jesus. The Bible says if they had only known, they wouldn't have crucified him. Because when they killed him, they unleashed it. Oh, come on, church. When they put nails in his hand, they thought it was over, but it was just beginning. When they put that crown of thorns on his head and a spear through his side and they laid his lifeless body in the tomb, they thought it was over. But I'm telling you, it was just beginning, because they unleashed the God part of Jesus, because we could not do it ourselves. And on that great getting up Sunday morning, I know it's almost October, but let's talk about resurrection. When Jesus was resurrected, he said, Brandon, I paid your bill. Don't worry about it. You don't have to do it on your own. Stand on your feet. A spirit-filled life. A spirit-filled, the same spirit, church, that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in us. If you need a reason to shout, give me 30 seconds. If you need a reason to shout, I'm going to give you one right here. Because when God unwrapped this in my prayer time and in my devotion time the last couple weeks, I just began to I got excited. I was weeping, all that at the same time. If there's a deity part in Jesus' body that was released when he died. They thought they killed him and it was over. They were just getting started. The Bible says that when we accept Christ into our life, that we die. They didn't know that when we died, that part that was unleashed from Jesus now rests on us and in us. Here's where you're going to shout. The enemy's so dumb that he's trying to do to you what he did to Jesus. But what he does not know is the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same thing he unleashed 2,000 years ago. When he hits my body, I unleash God's spirit. When he gossips about me, I unleash God's spirit. When he comes against my marriage, I unleash God's spirit. Same stupid devil trying the same stupid things. He didn't know then, and he still doesn't know now. The same spirit that was unleashed is the same spirit that we have. And the devil thinks when he cuts me that I'm going to die. No, when he cuts me, he lives. When I'm bruised, he lives. When I have a bad moment, I'm crushed, persecuted. I'm not destroyed. So, devil, give me your best shot. Paul would go on to say things like, I've got a thorn in my flesh. He began to say things like, I glory in my affliction, because every time you hit me, his spirit comes out. Every time you press me, more of his spirit comes out. More of his anointing comes out. More of his power comes out.